Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
I want to teach this morning on this simple thought of savoring the blessing, savoring the blessing. How many of you have maybe in a time of fasting or maybe a long day of work and you didn't have a chance to maybe swing by your favorite place to get coffee and a biscuit, or you didn't have time to, you know, get breakfast, and you find yourself working all day and you finally sit down, it might be your favorite meal. And especially if you have fasted for several days, maybe you've been on a Daniel's fast, and so you haven't had certain pleasant foods for a while, and you sit down and you take that first bite or you take that first sip, and there's something about having a time where you've had consecration, or maybe you haven't had food like you usually do, you savor it. You know, if you've eaten four or five times in one day and you got to take another bite, you know, or if you have mistakenly gone through a drive-thru on the way home and forgot that your wife was cooking, and you act like you are the hungriest bear coming out of hibernation to save the marriage, you don't quite savor that bite, but you act like it. But there's something about truly being hungry for God. The scripture tells us, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. There's something about being hungry for holiness and thirsty for truth and longing for the presence of God, a yearning for him, that allows you or causes you to savor it even more. We live in a generation of attention deficit disorders in a very physical and also spiritual way. People that lack concentration for any long period of time. A lot of it has to do with the environment that we live in, all the sensations to the five senses of the flesh that are always on display around us, the smorgasbord of opportunities and short-term entertainment fulfillments that people can find in social network, online, through television, whatever the means of entertainment might be. And so it's very easy to have the appetites of the world so full that we don't hunger for God like we should. And I'm not necessarily preaching against all of those things until they do become a device of the enemy. You know, everything that we have, listen to this point, because this is good teaching, and this is biblical fundamentals that will help you. Balance is very important, because temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. Temperance is self-control. So whether it's this device or XM Sirius Radio or something you may view online or on a smart television or whatever it is you may look at with a DVD, listen to, talk about, it's very important that you have balance. Now, corruption and sin and immorality adds nothing to balance. But when we're talking about healthy entertainment, there's nothing wrong with that. Unless you do that all the time and you have no time for the Word of God, and you have no time for prayer, and you have no time for church or faithfulness to the things of God. I mean, does that make sense? Okay? Amputation is not a fruit of the Spirit, but it is an elementary extreme that has to be taken if you don't have maturity. Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven halted and maimed than to, you know, than to go to hell, than to be lost. The point there is amputation is very elementary. But if you can't have temperance, don't look to your right or to your left and judge somebody else with a device and think because you can't control yourself, they're not controlling themselves. You might need amputation for a period of time in your life. We are jumping right into the depths here. I'm sorry. I thought I could warm you up a little bit. We'd put it right in the microwave. But this will help you. There may be a period in your life. I mean, I've known people that couldn't control their emotions on a basketball court or a softball field or playing a sport, that for a while they needed to amputate that. They needed to just cut off participating in that for a while till they could get themselves under control, till they learned the fruit of the Spirit, which is temperance. So temperance is self-control. Temperance speaks of balance. Now, you walk. When you walk, God created us to have two legs and two feet and to walk with a certain rhythm. You walk right, left, right, left, right, left, right foot, left foot, and you walk toward a destination or toward a goal or an object or a place or whatever it might be. And that's temperance. This is a physical understanding of temperance. But now if I had one leg shorter than the other and say quite measurably shorter than the other, if my right leg was quite shorter than the left leg, then I might need a cane because to walk with balance would be a little more impossible. I might lean to the right and fall. This is good teaching. There are people that lean to the right of judgmentalism because they have the right leg shorter than the left. And they see everybody's faults and flaws, and they do not savor the blessings of God in their own lives because they are too busy finding fault with others. Boy, this is going to help you today, okay? Because you don't have balance. Now, before all the liberal people go crazy, some have their left leg shorter than their right, and they lean to the left, and they don't stand for anything, and their convictions change every week. And they challenge every word of God that comes. They're critical of authority. They're critical of everybody. And so you have to have balance. And he gives us balance between the right and the left to walk the straight and narrow. And that's temperance. Because temperance is self-control. And so maintain self-control in what you watch, what you listen to, what you talk about, what you hear, what you allow your feelings to be dictated by. If you lived in a place that had nothing but foul odors all the time, you're either going to move or you're going to go buy some good scented candles. Because even in our human flesh, we don't like things that are acrid or acrimonious or foul or pungent to the smell. Okay? Nobody walks through a cow pasture where the cows have been really active without getting too plain and go, wow, that's the best smell I've ever smelled. Okay, now that I've got you awake and got your attention. But you like things that are fragrant. Oh, those aren't just beautiful roses. They smell nice. Or, you know, or if you burn, you know, before you got the scented candles, maybe you used to burn potpourri in your house. So there are things that are pleasant both to the physical man and, most importantly, to the spiritual man. So I have to have balance. And the things that knock me off balance are the things that are too judgmental and the things that are too compromising of my character or spiritual morality. To the right, finding fault with others. To the left, excusing all of my deficiencies and faults and justifying my sins. Now, some of you are going, what does this have to do with savor my blessing? Because the psalmist starts out by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. If I am distracted in my mind, I allow bad thoughts to create negativity, which then can become a fountain for gossip and rumors, or even self-condemnation, self-deprecation, all of those things that can create a pattern of making excuses for why we cannot grow in God. Does that make sense? And we lose our balance. But when we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we will continue to walk the straight and narrow. We walk in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We do not take the detours to the right, judgmentalism, or to the left, liberalism, that doesn't believe anything. But we walk in the paths of grace. And we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Well, what is within me? It's my mind, the way I think. It's my mouth. It's the way I talk, the kind of conversations I have. It's my eyes. It's what kind of vision that I want to maintain to be clear. God, give us eyes that are open, especially open to this generation of wickedness, but also to the Word of God. Let us not always just be looking for devils. I don't want to find a devil behind every bush. I want to find angels working in the house of the Lord. And I want to see the good things of God. Okay? So we have to have balance. And in order to have balance, we have to savor the blessings of God. And in order to do that, it starts by appreciating everything that God has done for us and God has done in us and God will do through us. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It starts in the soul. It starts in that place which is the everlasting part of what has been created in us. This flesh is not everlasting, not yet. It is mortal. 1 Corinthians 15 teaches that mortality will take him or own immortality, but we're not there yet until the rapture takes place. And so, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I remember as a kid, I grew up in a wonderful house, and mom and dad that loved me, but we didn't have a lot of money. And there were certain things that even as a kid, I would wish for and ask for Christmas. There might be 10 things, and I might get one thing. Now, that's probably even better than maybe what some of you went through. I talked to my dad, and my dad grew up in such a poor home, full of love, but they were sharecroppers and worked in the cotton fields. And they would get an apple or an orange for Christmas. He would tell me, say, for breakfast we had an onion and a biscuit, and for lunch we had an onion and a biscuit. They didn't smell very good, but I think they had a lot of energy. And then I realized growing up, I didn't have a whole lot, but what would happen is I might get one of those things on a list of 10, and oh, how I would savor it, how much I appreciated it. How much more meaningful it was to me. How many of you now, you baptize your grandkids, and I know it's already happening. I mean, little William is barely 4 months old. He's not even 4 months old. He will be in a few days. But I already want to buy him a Lamborghini, and I can't afford it. But you want to baptize your kids, but even more so your grandkids, and you could buy them 20 gifts. And isn't it amazing how they start opening the boxes and then they play with the box and not the toy? We have to be careful. In the kingdom of God, we have been so blessed with so many blessings that often we don't savor them like the child that gets one toy and holds it and savors it and says, wow, thank you, Mom, thank you, Dad, or thank you, Santa Claus. But there's something about having all the blessings of God at our fingertips. And if we're not careful, we will allow entitlement to discourage us from all the things we have and let the devil start pointing out the one thing or two things we don't have. Isn't that why we're in the predicament to begin with? Eve was convinced that that one tree in the middle of millions was worth committing sin and being deceived. And to take a bite of the forbidden fruit. Don't become a backslider in this hour because you think something was taken from you, and God has laid a feast on a table. And you sit down. How many here like ham? How many here like turkey? Okay. How many here like any kind of meat that they set on the table? So let's just say we come into the presence of the Lord, and it's a king's feast, and it's just whatever. And it's all the vegetables, and it's the fruits, and it's the meats, and it's just lavishly prepared. And it's, you know, the Lord sent the angels back into the most distant storage to bring out the most expensive china. Even the Lord uses china. Sets it all out, and it's just beautiful. And everything is set up and looks great. And then you sit down at the table. It's everything. It's every kind of dessert you can think of. And then all of a sudden you go, hey, where's the pumpkin pie? Oh, well, we didn't have pumpkin pie on the menu today. Well, I'm not staying. Now, how many thinks that's ridiculous? How come you've treated God like that? In a spiritual sense. I come to church, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory and peace that passes all understanding and righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And what are some other things? The discerning of spirits and working of miracles and gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. It's more than one. They're just all over the place. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. There's encouragement. There's love, peace, gentleness, kindness. It's all over. But I could walk in here and go, where's my prophecy? Like for today. Like I got 35 back over here. They ain't even been fulfilled yet. But I need another one because I'm spoiled. We start, you know, clinking the glass. Hey, angels, what's going on? Let's get over here. Let's come on. We can forget the benefits of God because we have been so benefited. And the enemy has a way of trying to convince us that we aren't blessed. Well, the devil is a liar. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 2 says, don't forget where you were and now where you are. You were on a junk pile, a trash heap, in a garbage dump. You were a sinner headed on the fast train to hell. And God turned it around and put you on a track to the church. You got in an altar and you were filled with the Holy Ghost and got so giggly you didn't even know what to do about it. How many did that happen to? How many got drunk in the Holy Ghost when you got the Holy Ghost? You couldn't even hardly get back to your seat. And then all of a sudden, time goes by and you forget the benefits. He allowed me to love myself. I mean, how can you love your neighbor as yourself when you hate yourself? No wonder you're critical of others. You don't care for yourself. You call yourself stupid. You call yourself an idiot. I'm going to dig deep here for a minute. And these are those that fall among the thorns, according to Mark chapter 4. They fall among the thorns, and the Bible said the thorns grew up. Those thorns start digging deeper. You allow that thing to stay around in your life, it may just barely be pricking your soul right now, but before long, it will cut you deep like a sword because those thorns grow up. And the Bible said it choked the word and that they couldn't yield any more fruit. Well, the most important fruit is Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. Now, we're talking about benefits. Savoring the blessings and the benefits of God because they are absolutely innumerable and they are incomparable. There is not a measure of the world that could compare to one seed of righteousness. You could own a canyon of silver and a mountain of gold and an ocean of money, and you still could not match the riches of his grace that brought you out of darkness into marvelous light, where we sit today in the presence of God and are allowed to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And yet, the Bible says that the one that fell among the thorns, it's the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in that choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Or if it falls on stony ground because it didn't have any depth of earth and it had no root in itself, and so but endures for a time, and afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. When I'm offended, it is because I have forgotten, first and foremost, the grace of God. He favored me, not the failure. He pulled me out of the failure and washed me, cleaned me, delivered me, set me free, gave me the Holy Ghost, put me in his kingdom, called me an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. But when I get offended, I'm like a spoiled brat throwing a temper tantrum. Because look at what you didn't do for me. What? Could you save yourself from hell? Could you deliver yourself from darkness? No. But we all get there because that's a human problem. We stop savoring the blessing. And we start feeling like nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. It's a real thing. But the best way for me to overcome offense is to remember his grace. When I remember his grace, I remember to be grateful. People that forget the grace of God then cease or stop being grateful. When you lose gratefulness and thankfulness to God, it is the first step toward apostasy and a reprobate mind. If you want to know how true prophets can become false prophets, it's first when they stop being thankful to God for what he's done for them. It is the first step. Because then it heads toward deception and self-justification and believing a lie. And often offenses start with a lie. A lie that the devil tells you nobody cares about you. Or the lie that you tell yourself, nobody cares about me. Now, we've all been there. So I'm trying not to look at somebody for too long. We're all looking in the mirror. Just be truthful. How many here has ever been offended? So everybody should raise your hand. Everybody here has been offended, and everybody here has probably offended somebody. You didn't cut that person off in traffic on your way to church? So I bring my offense to the altar and I say, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. You saved me. You put me in the kingdom of God. This thing isn't just some temporal social society. This is the kingdom of God. I've been planted in the church.
I cannot give half of my worship, and that should be no surprise.
Jesus. Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.